So let's start out with some, just some deep belly breaths, slow, deep belly breaths. And pay attention to the sensations in your abdomen. And pay attention to the point where the in-breath leads to the out-breath, and the point where the out-breath turns into the in-breath. And if you have thoughts come up, it's okay, just let them go gently and go back to the breath.
You got a full set for me.
And continue breathing into your belly, slow, deep breaths into your belly. And again, if you have thoughts come up, just gently let them go. And pay attention to the subtleties of the sensations in the rising and falling, in your abdomen, And then let the breath become natural. So you're not actually doing it anymore. You're not controlling it in any way. It's just happening. But you're still observing the breath. The subtle sensations. Now, continuing the breath, we're going back to deep breaths, and imagine on the inhale, a light like a star going from the base of your spine all the way up your spine to the top of your head. And at the top of the breath, that light turns to a warmer color and descends down on the out breath, down through the head, down through the spine, to the base of the spine. And then when you begin to inhale again, it goes back up the spine with a cooling sensation up the spine, and then at the top of the head. And the out-breath descends back down with a warm, flowy sensation. Imagine this light going up and down the in-breath and the out-breath. And also see if you can feel it. If not, that's okay. And continue just for another minute. Okay, wrap it up and slowly open your eyes and come back into the room. It's okay. You can still hear me? It's okay?
Yeah, a lot of noise when you touch it.
Oh, sorry, okay.
No, it's okay.
It's not recording, but that's okay, as long as you can hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now we're going to do a release meditation. So just pick something that you want to be free of. Something in your life, could be a past event, or could be difficulties with another person, or anything that is something that has bothered you and you want to let go of. So think of that thing, bring it to mind now. And just let it be there. And see if there's an emotional component to this. An emotion that's connected to it. Or a kind of resistance that you can feel in the body. And just let that emotion or that feeling come up. That tension or whatever it is in the body, just let it come up and be there without trying to control it in any way. Just welcome it up. And you can honor it for having served you, even in some small way. You can thank it if you want. But now you don't need it anymore, and you can let go of it. So just release it, and as you let go, breathe into it. Slow, deep breaths. Breathe into that sensation. Without trying to control it. Without trying to push it away. or pull it towards you. Without trying to do anything with or about it. Just breathing into this place in the body. Letting it release on its own as it wants to do. Because it does want to leave. It just needs your permission. And feel it releasing and dissolving all by itself. As you continue to breathe into it, feel the expansion of the process. And the effortlessness of letting go. And see if there's any emotion or sensation left there that's still there, remaining, and let it come up to the surface. Without using any effort whatsoever. Letting it come up and be as it is, without trying to control it in any way. And breathe into it again. And breathe into it again. And breathe into it more. Just letting it dissolve on its own. And check in with it again. See if there's a story around it, or a belief. That is at the root of this tension in the body or emotion. Just whatever comes to mind. And let that come up and just be there, that story. About you. Or about the things that happened to you. Or by you. That seemed to be about who you are. Who you believe yourself to be. And see if you want to make any changes about that story. Or that belief, maybe it's no longer serving you the way it originally did, or maybe it never served your higher purpose. And then make any changes to the story or to the belief that you want to make. Just allow it to resolve. Or drop the story or the belief altogether. We don't have to live by stories. We don't have to live via beliefs, belief systems, if we don't want to. Especially those that were given to us or imposed on us. We can actually make our own beliefs, build our own stories if we want to have a story. Build our own architecture of the mind, the way we want it to be, the way that it serves us now. Designing it the way that is useful to us. throwing out anything that is not. We can just let it go, throw it out, get rid of it. And we don't have to, again, believe in anything. We don't have to have any story about ourselves or about others. We can live as presence, presence to what is. We are capable of living that way. And it's our choice. We have that choice. We're free to choose. And it's not very conventional to live that way. And we can choose to ignore the conventions. If we want to. And we can just live by this design, this intuitive life, energy, presence, awareness. Divine spirit. Source energy. Or simply life. And the more we let go of stories and beliefs, the more this life envelops our being. The more easily we can let go into it and let life live itself, let it flow naturally. As the natural state. As it is, and how, as it always has been. And how it always will be. So stay present. just being what you are. For another minute. Remember to stay relaxed. And effortless. And now dedicate this practice to someone who might need it, or to all beings. Without their knowing, just give it away. May all beings be free. Okay, slowly wiggle your fingers and toes, and slowly open your eyes and come back into the room. still working? It's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, does anyone have any questions about what we just did? Or anything you want to talk about with regards to what we just did?
It was intense.
What's that?
It was intense.
Okay.
And beautiful. Thank you.
Great. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about this idea of the divine or divine intelligence as a way to, kind of like a worldview, I guess. In the Buddhist traditions, there's not this other thing that we think about as like in a theistic tradition. There is what we call God or Brahman or something that is divinely intelligent, that has some kind of control or some power of creation that created us and that created all things. And in the Vedanta traditions, there is this idea, which is similar to, but not the same as in the Christian traditions. And so there is, in the Vedanta tradition, there is Brahman, which is everything. And it's us too, but we don't realize that it's us also. And we're just a part of this God or everything being, which is a being. It's one being, like God in the Christian traditions. Yet in Buddhist traditions, this doesn't exist. And so it's something that I think is helpful to think about, because of a very simple, basic, fundamental flaw that we have, which is this thing called effort or trying, because it's very easy to get into this idea that we need to try to get to self-realization. That there is a me here, and I'm trying to get this thing that I want, which is to be realized, which is ultimate happiness. And so this is a problem for many people who travel the Buddhist path or who are practicing in the traditions of Buddhism. And it's a hurdle that can be overcome via these traditions and obviously has been effective. However, I see that maybe there's a better way. Because Buddhism is hardcore. It's like hardcore. You know, if you really want to get into it and see the results, it takes an incredible amount of effort to get to the no effort place. And also in the Vedanta traditions, many of these gurus of the past have talked about this idea of having effort to get to no effort. You have to make a lot of effort to get to no effort. And this, I think, is true, and it has been true for me also. However, personally, it's been much easier when I have switched my worldview a little bit, and I just allow this divine energy, Brahman or God or divine spirit, or source energy, whatever you want to call it, to take care of things, to take care of my self-realization. So I don't really have to do it then. It becomes, instead of effort, becomes more of an invitation to see what this is about from the ego's perspective. To invite in this supreme being into our everyday activities and just going about your day. And asking it to take care of things, like how they sometimes talk about in the New Age traditions of this idea of co-creation, where you're co-creating because you know you have an idea of what you want, and you're letting this supreme being, which is what you are ultimately, help you get this thing that you want in the separation, within the separation consciousness, which we all are in until we're not. So So within separation consciousness, we can invite in the supreme being or the source energy to take care of whatever it is that we want to take care of on a mundane level or on a more ultimate level. So, that's the paradigm of the theistic traditions, there's a higher power than me, what I call me, that can take care of things. But I ultimately am that supreme power as well. So there's this kind of balancing these, the relative and the ultimate, and not saying it's one or the other, because it's not one or the other, it's both. And we can experience the relative and the ultimate simultaneously as human beings. We have that power. And so just knowing that we have that power can help us to live that way in a relative or ultimate paradigm, or from a relative or ultimate point of view. Like a bird in the sky that sees an overview of everything, but also like a, you know, like an eagle or a hawk has this precision sight. It can go and zoom in on any point it wants to, just like that. Like boom, boom, like there's a rabbit, you know, or a squirrel or something. And it just, it's like boom, it has that power, but yet it has all of this too. It has this overview of everything. So we have that same power. We can experience the ultimate presence of the divine source while we're doing the dishes, for instance. So I guess what I'm saying is that it doesn't have to be this concept that we're used to of trying to make effort to not make effort, or this paradox of like really trying to meditate, you know, like there are certain days where it's just like, oh my God, whatever, you know. And just letting it be taken care of. Letting your meditations just be taken care of. Let them just happen instead of trying to do them. Letting them just happen and just going along with it, following your intuition, which is that divine presence. Or not meditating and doing something else that you're following of, that is, that you're being led by with, via your intuition. Right, your access to your intuition. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. But there is just I guess it's useful to think about how these different traditions apply their worldviews to their life, and how it can be useful to look at things in another, from another point of view, and go outside of the normal, what we're normally used to in terms of daily living paradigm or perspective, or what the core belief that we're working from is, you know. And I find that the Christian traditions have something really special with regard to that, and also the Vedanta traditions that the Buddhist traditions don't have. That could possibly be useful to people practicing in those traditions. That's all I wanted to say. So, anybody?
So what exactly does the Buddhist tradition doesn't have? I didn't understand.
A god image, no?
Yeah.
The god image.
Mm-hmm.
The all-powerful being.
Uh-huh.
That is a being.
It doesn't
One
have
being.
That.
It doesn't have that. It's not theistic, so theism
mm-hmm.
is
yeah.
means
yeah.
God, right?
Yeah,
it's one God. It's,
so what does it have?
It has the concept of emptiness, and we are all one. It's like oneness. We're all one. But it doesn't have the... In the Christian traditions, there's a powerful... In some traditions, it's an all-powerful being. It calls all the shots. So we have basically no power. It has every power. And we pray to God for everything that we want.
Mm.
That's how the a lot of the traditions of Christianity are. That's how they view it. There are many variations of this.
Mm.
You know, some say that we have certain powers, you know, or that God is not all powerful, but it's omniscient and all seeing. There are different variations, yeah, like in any main tradition.
And the Advaita believes that there is that.
It's similar.
But we are also that.
We are also that.
We are also that.
Exactly.
But the Buddhist tradition, well, there's an emptiness.
There is emptiness.
There
so,
is emptiness.
Of course, I'm speaking very generally here
uh-huh.
about these traditions.
Yeah.
They're all a little bit different. In Buddhism, there's the idea of enlightenment or self-realization, and it's attained. You attain it. You decide to attain it, and you work toward it, and along the way, you learn about emptiness and how things really exist. You learn about how the world exists. It's a science, you know. It's not. It's non-theistic, and it's scientific in a way that has been proven to work. So, it has. Really, it's hard to define if you're going from the Buddhist traditions, because there's nothing really out there according to those traditions. It's emptiness. It's all emptiness. But it's super blissful when you realize that. You realize that it's all your projection, and then everything is, and then suddenly it's all just oneness when you realize this on a very deep level, it all becomes just oneness, and that's enlightenment.
Yeah. That to me makes more sense, although it doesn't at the same time, but to me it makes more sense than the idea of a god.
Uh-huh.
It's practical, the idea of a god, but it's comfortable.
Yeah.
But the Buddhist approach makes more sense, you know, like the quantum physics, that particles appear out of nothing. And I don't know, I feel that to be more real. Not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, great.
But yeah, I would like to read a bit more about that.
Yeah. It's very logical.
Mm-hmm.
The Buddhist traditions are very logical.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christian and Vedanta traditions are sometimes logical, but mostly not logical at all. So it's mostly based on belief systems, you know, that this is how it is. Mm-hmm. And in some traditions, like in the Gnostic traditions of Christianity, it's more like Vedanta and Buddhism, where, you know, it's not based on a belief system. It's based on what is, you know, let's find out what God really is, you know? And so you can't really say Christianity is like this, because you have to say it's the traditions of Christianity, and the Gnostic traditions are the traditions that I know of that are most like Buddhism and somewhat like Vedanta.
Maybe the Christian perspective focuses more on the cosmology, needs to create a story or a myth to explain the origin of everything.
Right, exactly, yeah.
It feels like that's what they are going, you know, with it. Yeah. It's like we need to be able to explain to the people.
Yeah,
like how this all started, you know.
Right.
We need to create a universal story that everyone is buying into, and it's
right.
And it makes sense, because there's actually beautiful stories which I love to read. I read to the kids, you know, about it, and I love cosmology, but at the same time, there's something that if you go further and further and further, you start, there's a feeling inside that this is belief, this is not, this is something you want to go, but it's not something that is actually, that makes total sense.
Irrefutable.
Yeah.
Or that you discover.
Yeah. But I love the comfort of it. I guess comfort, you know, I like.
Yeah.
But yeah. But there's something that is there that makes us think like, maybe it's just things come out of nowhere. Just what it is.
Yeah, right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And why want more? And why need more than that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's a good point. And maybe it's helpful for us to start thinking about what we're actually experiencing versus the dogma that we've been trained or programmed to believe. You know, maybe it's a good thing to question, what is it that we're actually experiencing, and what makes the most sense, but also what is useful for our path, you know, what is intuitive to you, you know, what really is intuitive. Separating that from the belief systems that we've been programmed by.
The idea that we experience the ultimate and the relative at the same time, it's like it's an honor. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a long time it was hell for me.
Right, right.
And it was really like, or is the other, or I know, what is it? And at the moment is really like, it's a blessing that you can experience different states.
Yeah.
That
right.
You can actually touch different ways of manifesting yourself.
Right. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
There should be more.
Yeah. One of my teachers used to say it's one of the hallmarks of spiritual maturity is the ability to embrace paradox.
Yeah.
And that's why all these guys, all these people that are more evolved are, well, a lot of them are friends with each other in different traditions and different belief systems, because they all see on the same level.
And all separate way.
Yeah, they see the separations are imaginary, they can see that there's really no difference in all these traditions, you know, at these higher levels. In the lower levels, yeah, they're very different. But at the higher levels, the understanding changes as you go up.
I think some gave themselves more to the act of politics than so much the act of discovery.
Yeah.
I think that's the big difference in some of the religions, at least
for what I
Some focus more on the politics and how we're going to use this to, you know, organize and control the system. And others just like, but the idea is to discover, is to understand. Let's just leave it a bit more open.
Yeah, there's so much control going on in, within a lot of those religions. Okay, great.
I also like the idea of cooperation you were talking about. Because at a certain point there is this idea that creates separation. There's the ego and we cannot be there. There's the separation and there's the ultimate reality of oneness and all that. And or God and us and but cooperation makes it's what also makes sense. It's pretty, it's comfortable.
Yeah.
The idea of cooperation.
Yeah.
And I also I'm also happy to absorb that.
If you think, you know, the I can't repeat what you said, but you were saying that it's us also and getting into the flow instead of trying and being an effort, just being, that's the universe providing. So I forgot what I was going to say.
You were saying, what were you saying just now?
The cooperation.
Yeah, universe providing is cooperating with the whole. You know, because if you let it go, the universe provides, you know, if you stop trying.
But that was coming from the resistance that I have towards some words that I heard from this guy, which is about, you know, the letting go thing and the trusting and the not trying and the not controlling, which makes sense. But at the same time, you know, for I struggle with that idea, like, why would I do that? Why would I ever do that? And of course there's an answer. I know why I would do that, because for sure all this shit would disappear. But but I don't know, the word cooperation it's nice. You know, it helps ease into the thing, you know, just have to jump to one or the other. Because it is still a bit scary sometimes, you know, for me, you know.
But
cooperation.
I think cooperation means something a little bit different to me than it does to you.
For sure. But
yeah. But yeah, I see your point. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
And we'll see you hopefully next week.
Yeah.